With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura. And belted into the net, brilliant goal! On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Lamella will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh, wow, what a run! Yunmin Son, from inside his own half, has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Welcome back to another episode of Touchline Hotspur. This week, we got a Tottenham v Man City special. So the script has been flipped. We've got two Man City fans with us today. But of course, before we get into that, I want to introduce some of our usual guests or hosts or co-hosts, should I say. Si, what are you doing? What are you saying? Sorry.
Good, man. Happy PlayStation 5 day.
PS5 day. Ooh. Yeah. Hands up if you got PS5.
Too much of a loyalist to Xbox.
I snaked Xbox. Sorry, it's time. 15 years, I've done my bid, man. It's time to move on. Tops, what are you saying?
Not much, man. Not much. Happy to be on again. Yeah.
No doctor here, emergencies this week.
No, not this week, bro. Not this week. Bro. Okay, quiet cool. One for just... me.
Okay, cool. Owen, what are you saying?
Yeah, I mean, I've missed the last few weeks. I've been a busy boy, but I'm very happy to be back for this special.
Yeah, you pumped, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, let me even touch on our two guests. So let me introduce Rose first. Rose, how are you? What are you saying? I see you come in your Man City colours. So what are you doing? What are you saying?
No, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited to talk Spurs v City because... it's never positive when I normally talk Spurs v City, but I got a spring in my step this week, so I wonder why that is. Steve, what are you saying?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, you?
Yeah? I know, obviously, you were buzzing as soon as you heard that news of Pep Guardiola, but of course, you're going to remind us that you knew about that weeks in advance, but it's good to see.
Yeah, and I got over that a long time ago, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm just waiting for Messi now. Just waiting for Messi.
I heard it, yeah. Messi. This guy's claiming Messi's going to join next season. You know what? It's actually a possibility. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a possibility. But I think that Pep contract, yeah, is the best place to start with us. Because obviously we know Spurs are playing Man City this week. So today's pod is going to be solely dedicated to Spurs v Man City. So the first thing we want to talk about is the managerial matchup. So first of all, this is a question for both you and Rose. Was there any actual fear from you lot's side that Pep was actually going to lead this season? And what do you, what's your expectation for Pep this season?
As far as the fear was going, for me, no, I didn't think he was going to leave. I've just always had it in my mind, looking at him, that he's happy here. It's different for him here. All the interviews coming out of the club, he was saying he was happy. And I know from people in the club that he's building something for further down the line. All the academy teams are playing the same way. He's talking about players like under 16, under 17 that he likes. So if you're planning on leaving, would he go that deep? I don't think so. And I just think he's got unfinished business. You know, what he's done in England is really good. He's a hero at Man City. He's a god. He can get away with murder there. But, you know, the rest of the world and the media are always going to whip him with the Champions League stick. And we all know what happens in the Champions League. Something just goes wrong and he just never quite raises to the challenge with City. But, you know, he's got unfinished business. And when Lionel comes and joins him, you know, it's all systems go.
It's funny that you mentioned that something always goes wrong, because you don't want to state the obvious, Steve. You don't want to state the fact that a certain manager likes to overthink and likes to overcomplicate. You don't want to mention that, bro.
No, listen, you can say that, but at the end of the day, he's got two Champions Leagues under the belt, yeah? These managers out there who've been going for years. Yeah, but been going for years and they've not got it. At the end of the day, yeah, he probably does overthink it. That Leon thing was inexcusable for me, but at a club like City that have only been in the Champions League probably 11, 12 years, he's going to get away with it here. If he was at someone that was like Bayern Munich, or if he was back at Barcelona, would he get away with it there? Probably not.
Rose, I know Steve's obviously covered off like whether he thought Pep was going to leave, but what's your, like, realistically, what is your expectations for Pep this season? Like, what constitutes as a good season for Pep this year?
Everyone's going to say the Champions League, but I just feel like this season, especially with everything that Pep's like gone through this year, you know, with his mum passing to COVID and, you know, him grieving, I just feel like he's going to be given more time. And that explains the new 2-year contract. I feel like they're just trying to take that pressure off him, especially the owners. And it just shows that they're just willing to give him all the time that he needs. Do I expect City to win something this season? Maybe an FA Cup, maybe a League Cup. I don't really see us winning the league or the Champions League this season. I just feel like we're not ready. And, you know, the injuries to Aguero, Fernandinho, I'm hoping, however, that they're back once we get to the last 16. But it's just not the same City side, is it? We need another striker, in my opinion. And we need another defensive midfielder, in my opinion. So... A good season for Pep. I don't know. I don't think he's going to have the best season. I think we'll probably just win, you know, maybe an FA Cup or a Carling Cup. That's what I think.
So, Tops, I'm going to come to you on this, because obviously Pep Guardiola now, like, a lot of people incorrectly brandish him as a checkbook manager. But when you look at him black and white, less black and white, not like adding context into it, the guy does tend to spend quite a lot of money. Players. This summer, he's bought in a £65 million centre-back, a £40 million centre-back, a £20 million winger. I can't even remember who else he got signed this summer as well. But it seems as if, obviously, Rose is saying that he's not really going to win much this season. But do you think that he has more to prove than, say, Jose Mourinho, his opposition this weekend?
Like my take on Pep is a funny one, because I've always thought he's probably been like in the top sort of, you know, percentage of elite managers. I feel like what he did when he was at Barca and when he did it at Bayern, very, very reputable. And actually, he's probably earned the right to be named as like an elite manager. But I do feel that something, well, actually, apart from the season where they, you know, they got more than 100 points and won the league, I thought City were unstoppable. I actually felt City were at a level that no team I've ever seen in my lifetime basically reached. But
I hear that.
I almost feel like right now, it really is Champions League or bust. And I know we did speak about these games where he has somewhat overthought and made sort of silly decisions in terms of personnel and tactics. But the kind of club that City are now, they are, you know, they're a top side. They're a top European side. Teams don't really want to play them. They're always going to be in and around the top sort of areas in the Premier League. So you'd kind of be thinking that if you've won a couple of Premier Leagues, a fair amount of domestic sort of titles, the next level really would be the Champions League. And for some reason, that hasn't materialised. I think it's also kind of difficult to kind of put him in like a comparison to Mourinho, because Mourinho is a very unique manager. He won his Champions Leagues at a time where football was kind of different. Under Porto, it was very pragmatic. Under Inter, it was, whilst it was largely attacking football, it was a system that worked with the players that seemed to play perfectly at the time. So to be able to compare the two, it's a bit difficult. Like this term, checkbook manager. It's, do you know what? Like it doesn't help. It doesn't help because he spent a lot of money, and it just happens to be that the two times that he's won the most elusive championships have been with Messi, or the Champions Leagues that he's won, they have been with Messi. So I kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but you can't really ignore like the amount of money that he spent. I mean, like, I think over his time at City, he spent something like more than 250 million on like fullbacks. To me, that's remarkable. I can't. I don't know. I wouldn't. Do you know what? I used to call him a fraud. I know it sounds crazy.
I used to call him a fraud.
I used to call him a fraud.
I'm sorry. We're not going to have the F word branded.
Exactly. Exactly.
The F word and Pep Guardiola are not going to coexist.
As I said, like when he had that City season where they won the league more than 100 points, I pulled back from that point and I was like, you know what? He's improved the players. They're playing a brilliant side of football. But I do think that there's just something a little bit missing now with the Champions League. And I feel like unless he gets that monkey off his back, it's always going to be, was he as good as he could have been at City? But I suppose this new two-year contract as well, he's got time to do it, probably more money to spend.
I'm going to come to you next, Si, on this, because I know we've spoken about Pep a lot, and I do agree he's not a fraud generally, but I do think there's a little bit of fraudulence in Europe. I'm not going to lie to you. I think there's a little bit of fraudulence, maybe more than a little. I'm downplaying it. It's more than a little, but I don't want to talk about Pep now. I want to talk about Mourinho, because Mourinho is the one that's going to have to set up his team against Pep Guardiola this weekend. What do you think is, what I'm trying to get at is, who has the harder task this season? Because Pep Guardiola, by all accounts, everyone expects Man City to challenge for the title. Jose Mourinho, by all accounts, is sort of last chance saloon at Spurs to try and show people that he's not dusted. Who do you think, like, when you have to weigh up what both managers have to sort of contend with this season, who's got it harder?
I think they're both in the same position, to be perfectly honest, on different ends of the spectrum. I think because we're trying to ascend to a point where we're actually putting silverware in the cabinet, and he comes with such an illustrious resume, I think the expectation is sort of minimal on him in terms of Mourinho. I know people like to ham it up a bit and say, oh, he has to win something. No, he doesn't. He's got nothing to prove in his career other than his sort of victory lap, if you will. If he does well at Spurs, he gets another big job. He rides off into the sunlight as the special one all over again. Whereas Pep, for me, he's achieved all there is to achieve in the game. And as Steve mentioned, he's a god at City. Nothing he does at City is going to temper his reputation. Nothing he does there is really going to prove anything different than what we already know. He's the best manager in the world for maybe the last decade. There's no dispute to that. I think the only issue with Pep is the fact that, similar to Mourinho, his teams usually go in like these three-year cycles. He established a style of football in his first 2 years quite slowly and methodically, but then as soon as it hit, it bred results. Do you get what I mean? So I think that similarly to Mourinho is one of the gifts and the curse of him. He can walk into your club and make you successful, but once the players get used to his ideology, once they get used to winning, where does the fire come from? And I think this is one of the more unique challenges for him that I think he's had over the course of his career, is going through that rebuild of a squad, which we've never seen him do. So
exactly.
I don't think there's any additional pressure. I just think it's a unique opportunity for both of them to prove their worth in a slightly different way than what we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think I want to sort of move on from the managers now onto the defense, because I want to split it by defense, midfield, attack, and then we can actually talk about sort of like predicted scoreline. So we both know that this weekend we can pretty much just understand what systems each side are going to play. But I'm just looking at the defensive record over the last five games specifically. Man City, 3 goals conceded in the last 5 games, 2 clean sheets. We've conceded 5 goals in our last 5 games, 2 clean sheets. But we, out of those 2 clean sheets, they've both been kept in the last 3 matches. Ever since that 3-3 draw, we've kept 2 out of 3 clean sheets. So it seems that there's been a slight improvement in both sides' defence. But I'm just looking at it in the sense of which defence is going to be tested the most, or better yet, which defence is going to perform well the most. And I wanted to get you lots, I say you lots, the City, the citizens, I wanted to get your verdict on what your sort of new look defence feels like from your end. Like, are you happy with Cancelo at left back? Are you happy with that Laporte and Ruben Diaz partnership as well? Like, do you feel a lot more comfortable in your defence this season?
To be honest, the left back position's been a problem. It's been a problem since Pep came. When you were talking about spending money and that before, he had to spend money because we had Zabaleta and Clichy that were leaving, so he's got to replace him. So at the end of the day, it's Pep Guardiola. He ain't going to go out and buy a fullback for $4 million. He's going to get the best fullback, and the best fullback at the time
$60 million.
Was Mende, and the other one was Walker. So he bought the best. So let's not diss him about spending money. He had to spend money. Anyway, Mende, obviously, he's not around. Cancelo was coming at left back this year. He's done really well, to be honest. I can't fault him. Our defence at the minute, it's anybody's guess. Diaz has come in. What I'm being told off the guys there at the club, that he's a bit of a leader and he's got a bit of a voice, and he's settled in well. And looking at him, he does, to be honest, he does look the part. Kyle Walker's having a great season. Whether the Cancelo coming in and he thought maybe he'd take the right back spot, I don't know. But Walker, he's having a good season, don't get me wrong, but he has done some stupid things with him.
I'm about to say this. This is what I'm trying to say, yeah.
But
we're used to that.
He's had a really good season. But I've said it before on other shows with Toby, that we're in a transitional period here. It's going to take a few games for him to get going. In my opinion, they've not done too bad. Do I feel a little bit more confident with Diaz in there? Of course I do. Garcia, we all know he's got his heart set on Barcelona. Would he be anywhere near the team for me? No. If you want to play for Barcelona, then get the move done. And then, I mean, the back four he's going to play this week. Zinchenko, no, he's not for me. So if you're asking me, I think what we've got on the table for the game is the best we've got. And I think we've just got to roll with it and hope it gels and hope it works.
So, Owen, I'm going to come to you next on this. So whereas Steve has just assessed their backline, our predicted backline for this weekend, obviously Sergio, Dyer, Alderweireld, and it looks like it's going to be Sergio because Doherty's injured. Do you feel like that? I'm even laughing saying it. Do you think that defence can hold up against that Man City attack?
I think as a team, generally this season, we've been very, very good at stopping the opposition from creating chances from open play. So this is as a team, not even just as a back four. Obviously, we've been toying with different centre-back partnerships. Sanchez doesn't look like he's going to get into the team, even though I feel like this is a kind of game which would suit him. We're going to have to defend deep and kind of expose City's weakness in terms of them, like their weakness isn't so much ours, where ours, I'd say, is probably defending set pieces, which we look to have tightened up a bit on. Where City's is more defending the quick transitions, which seem to suit us down to the ground. Yeah, as long as we kind of defend deeper, which we're going to have to do because Dia and Toby Alderweireld will probably look to play and they're not exactly the quickest. Trust me. Just to stop getting in behind and offer protection to potential and hopefully not individual mistakes, because that would be the only thing I feel like would let us down in terms of how City will tend to try and open us up from open play. Mm. I think I have a funny feeling VAR is going to have a huge influence.
Steve's best friend. Steve's best friend. When it comes to us, he thinks that we always get the individual
mistake or VAR.
Yeah.
I am quite confident, or quietly confident, that we can stop a lot of kind of City's attack from open play. I mean, I was actually very impressed with how well City exerted a lot of control over Liverpool in their last game. Like, I didn't expect it at all, but they seem to be lacking a bit of potency at the moment. Like, Sterling he wasn't bad, but he wasn't great. He kind of looked like he was off it a bit. Ferran Torres, I haven't seen him against a kind of team of our stature in the league just yet, but he looks to be really good. I fear him. I don't know if Aguero is going to be back, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so, bros, I wanted to come to you on this as well. And this one's just a left field one, because I feel like I need a good laugh. But like, when did Eric Garcia all of a sudden become this brilliant centre-back that Barcelona were fighting tooth and nail for? Like, whenever I've watched him, the guy's been painfully average or bad. Like, where's the hype come from that all of a sudden he's a centre-back that's good enough to play for Barcelona?
I don't know where that hype's come from. I'm not really a fan of him. The fact that he doesn't want to play for this club, I just don't see why he wasn't let go. When I have seen him play, he does make some rash decisions. So honestly, I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand where the hype's coming from.
I want to stay on you as well, because we want to talk about midfield, and I want to do sort of like our midfield versus your midfield. So I want to ask the midfield trio for this game. Who are you picking currently from what you've got available, and why?
Okay, so from what we've got available, I'm going to go with Gundogan, Rodri and De Bruyne. I would obviously go for Fernandinho, but obviously he's injured. And Bernardo Silva is a bit hot and cold. So I feel like what we do have left is Gundogan, Rodri, De Bruyne and Foden. But I feel like Pep is going to be cautious. He's not going to go with Foden. He's not going to start Foden, I don't think. I think he's going to play it cautious, because Spurs, literally, like, just that trio of Bale, Kane and Son, literally they can turn a game on its head. So we have to keep that ball. We have to keep the ball at all times. I mean, even last season, that masterclass when you guys beat us 2-0, in the last two matches, you've beaten us away.
So we drew at your ground last year. Then we beat you at home.
Yeah, and like, I think you had like five shots on target.
Yeah, ridiculous. Scumbag result.
All of them winning. It's insane.
Do you know what I mean? So you guys are just clinical when you have the ball. And I feel like this season, I think Spurs have improved. So I'm even more worried. We've got to keep the ball. We can't let you have the ball, because anyhow Spurs score first, I think it's going to be a long match for us.
That's fair enough. But I just what do, so like Sai and Sai or Tops, what do you think of sort of
the Rodri and Gundogan playing in the same midfield. Because whenever I see them two playing together, I like Rodri, but I think at best he's a decent defensive midfielder. And I think whilst Gundogan is a good midfielder, I just think for these sort of high-pressure games, he seems to hide. And I just think playing them together, it doesn't really work for me. What's you lot's take on those two playing against our midfield? And who would you start in our midfield? Like who gets the nod for this game? Because you saw Lo Celso ball out in midweek for Argentina. But Soko has been the one that's been playing recently as well. We know that Ndombele is going to start. And we know that Pierre-Emile Højbjerg is going to start. So really and truly, it's just that right-sided midfielder slot. So who, in your opinion, should start this game?
Well, I've just given my opinion on who should start. I know who's going to be on that team sheet, and it's going to be Sissoko.
Yep.
Funnily enough, he's had a couple good games against Man City, but yeah, we're not holding on to the ball at all. We'll have like 32% possession in this game, without a shadow of a doubt. And we are gonna struggle to create anything from the midfield. But as we've seen over the course of the season, when Kane drops into the hole, things happen. So I've got a feeling that we'll have that trio on the right hand side of Sissoko, Aurier, and Lucas. I know I'm going ahead because we'll get to attack, but Lucas will be the player that's on that right hand side because we just need energy and we need a bit of pace and a little bit of sort of, we need to cheat the system a little bit because we're not playing through midfield in this game. No way, no how.
Yeah, but you know what it is though? I don't know whether, because the thing is, I still think City are a fearsome side, but I just feel like you've seen the likes of Leeds get at them when they went to Elland Road. You've seen Wolves, even though City just dominated that first half, the second half, Wolves were completely all over them like a rash. Surely with the players that we have available, with Man City somewhat weakened this season, surely Mourinho has to be a bit more positive in his game plan, or do you think that the counter approach is the best game plan?
It's all down to the way he coaches us. Ultimately, we're not a possession based team, so we're going to play on the counter regardless of who it is. We only ever really maintain possession to stifle opposition or kill a game. We don't really build when we have a lot of the ball. So yeah, man, we're going to set up the same way we always set up, looking for a break.
Yeah, I think it's a formality. Like setting up for the counter was serious anyway, but what's been quite obvious to me, especially in recent weeks this season, is that I find it's quite hard for teams to be proactive for most of the game. Like most teams just seem to gas out by the second half. Mourinho will probably be aware of that, especially after the international break where players are coming from here, there and everywhere. It's funny that you mentioned Lo Celso as well, Toby, because I had a sneaky feeling. I was thinking about the lineups earlier and trying to get Mourinho's head a little bit. Well, I think it's going to be a formality that Højbjerg and Sissoko start, and Sissoko is to patrol the right side. I feel like he could be tempted to start Lo Celso, especially seeing the role he played for Argentina, just covering that kind of left-hand space, kind of trying to epitomise that performance which he had against Everton, where he just ran the show. But he was ultimately doing the dog work as well. We know Kevin De Bruyne likes to hang out on their kind of right side as well. So Lo Celso could be placed to kind of do a job there for a while and then bring Ndombele on once City perhaps tire in the second half.
You know what, Steve? I'm gonna come to you next on this. Kevin De Bruyne, it's a weird one because by his standards, I don't think he's been that good this season. But the guy is still like he's been probably like a 5 out of 10, and he's already got like 7 assists and a goal in like 10 appearances for Man City this season. I'm really interested to see the battle between him and Højbjerg. But what do you think? Do you think that like he should be starting with, as you call him, what is it, Stockport Iniesta? Isn't that what you call Phil Foden?
Yeah,
Stockport
Iniesta. Foden, yeah. Stockport
Iniesta, yeah. Yeah, so I just feel like I know what Rose said was right about him, about Pep maybe being a bit conservative because of the threat that we carry in our attack. But I would have thought that maybe this is the type of game to play Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne. What do you think?
Well, if you look at the seasons under Pep when we've dominated, we've had Kevin De Bruyne. He's been in there with Bernardo Silva or David Silva, and he's always been one holding midfielder in there. This season, he's persistently playing Rodri and Gundogan. Now, it doesn't complement De Bruyne because, you know, no disrespect, they're not on his wavelength. Part of our flowing football was a little pass inside of Silva, a little space, couple of 1-2s, Bernardo or De Bruyne or David, and then we're away. So you're taking away one of De Bruyne's main tools, you're taking away another creative mind in there, and you're putting in two grafters. So when you're saying he's not up to speed this season, I agree. But what he's doing is he's carrying more of the responsibility on his shoulders, so he's no one out to offset it with. But yeah. Gundogan, like you said before, you know, I've spoke to you about him before, he does go missing in games. I just got a feeling that Bernardo Silva will start. I think he'll start Bernardo and De Bruyne, and he'll put Rodri holding. And I think if he does that, then that shows a bit of positivity for us. And I think... yeah, I think De Bruyne plays better when he's with Bernardo. But it's the same thing. You've got to get that momentum. He keeps starting it, and then you think, oh, we're playing well here. And then the next game, he goes back to Gundogan, and then he'll do Gundogan again. And then the next game, he might play Bernardo or Foden. And then you think, oh, we're doing all right. Then but, you know, it's just Pep, might be Pep's overthinking mind again. You don't know, do you?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's an interesting topic, to be honest. I don't know where Gundogan's state of mind is after he just got tonked 6-0 by like a below average Spain team. His head's still probably, where do they play, in Catalonia or wherever it is? His head's still somewhere in Spain. So I don't think I don't think he's in the right mind frame to play this weekend. But Tops, I'm going to come to you because there's one midfielder that we haven't mentioned, and he's probably been our second most consistent midfielder after Højbjerg this season. So in Ndombele, we've been talking redemption season. What are your expectations for Ndombele in this match? Because he's unbeaten against Man City, ain't he? He's played.
Yeah, he is. He is. You know, even back
cheeky little unbeaten record there
in Lyon, he seems to perform at quite a high level against City. Even last season as well, he came on for a bit of a cameo, and remember him specifically giving Rodri little bit of a run around, and obviously got the assist or Son's goal as well. Like, I feel like he's been massively improved this season. As us guys anyway on this pod, have always largely thought that our stocks have been heavy into Ndombele. We've always known that there's been a player there. Maybe not his application and his conditioning have been at their best, but obviously as the season's progressed, you know, he has performed at better and better level. In this type of game, I feel they will probably go with Sissoko and Højbjerg, which I assume will then push him probably into more of a 10 kind of role.
What do you think you've been playing this 10 role? Because I don't know about you, and this is you citizens, you can get involved as well, but what do you not think of Ndombele playing as that number 10 role? Because personally, I feel like he's playing far too high. You get the best out of Ndombele when you have him in the center of the pitch to beat the presses, and split defenses from deep and carry the ball. I don't like him being stuck up there, and then we're struggling to build from the middle. So I just wanted to ask, what's your lot's take on him playing as this number 10?
I think it's a symptom of Jose basically just, again, trying to prove a bit of a point. He's still trying to leave that like little bit of doubt, so when he does eventually drop him for Lo Celso, he has an out. He's gonna say, "Oh, cool! Like he can't create further forward." Like it's one of those sort of underhanded tactics. That's the way I view it, anyway. As you said, he's better when he drives forward from deep, and when he's able to see more of the pitch, be closer to the halfway line, and just spray the ball left, right, and center. I would prefer us to play with a single pivot, two guys flanking, but then the problem with that is Sissoko doesn't like to receive the ball, so I think we sort of shift the guy further forward so there's a more direct outlet, but it does pretty much kill a lot of our momentum building attacks through midfield. So it's cutting off your nose to spite your face, realistically.
Mm. What do you think, outside shot of, and this is probably to you, Owen, as well as Si, what's the possibility of Harry Wink starting? Because obviously he made some comments midweek about how he needs to be playing regularly to get into the England squad and whatnot. what's your take on him and whether he could be involved in this match?
I don't think he's done enough to start yet. I don't think this is the kind of game for him.
You're waxing lyrical about his assist. If you
his beautiful assist.
His assist where he's
literally signature sideway pass.
And he's beat like two players and slapped it bottom corner.
Oh, do you know what? Everyone's claiming the assist for Harry Kane for one of those goals as well. Like, that was a better assist than Harry's, at least. But for both Harry's. I don't think it's the game for him. I think maybe it's actually hard to say because he actually did play well when we last beat City, and obviously he played a key role in obviously helping us keep the ball, got Zinchenko sent off. And he is looking to, from what I can see from his more recent performances, adapt his game a bit more to be more forward thinking. But I don't know. I just don't think Mourinho, he's done enough for Mourinho to trust him in this high level of a game just yet. But do you know what? I don't even know. I feel like both managers are going to come in with a sense of trying to spring an element of surprise.
Mm. And I think the most sort of contentious like part of this game is definitely going to be in the attack for me, because I feel like in Man City, if Jesus and Sterling are fit, they're going to start. Same with us. If Son and Kane are available, they're going to play as well. But it's about who is playing on the right side for both sides. So first of all, I actually wanted to, before we even get onto that, I want to talk about Sterling versus Son. I want to get you lot's opinions on this debate, because we had a podcast a couple of weeks ago about whether Son's world class. And I think there was a large opinion in the fact that he wasn't, but he's on his way to it. So you Man City fans, what's your opinion on Raheem Sterling then? Is he a world-class winger for you? And do you think he's better than Son?
Rose can go first if she wants on that.
I think Sterling's world-class. I do. He's not had the best season so far. But like, just if you look at what he's done, you know, last season and the season before, I think he's done enough to be, you know, recognised as a world-class player, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Okay, and you think he's better than Son?
Do you know what? I think Son is an exceptional player, but I still feel like Raheem just has that little bit of edge above Son. If Son carries on, he's going to be obviously just as good, but I would still go with Sterling over Son.
What's fair to say is I think maybe Son probably has more strings to his bow in terms of just what he can pull out of his locker. However, I feel like Sterling is more effective on a much more consistent basis.
Yeah.
Thus, he does deserve to be called world class in that respect.
Steve?
Yeah, Sterling. I mean, if you look at the Raheem Sterling we signed and you look at the Raheem Sterling now, it's a massive difference. I mean, Pep, credit to him. I mean, the Sterling we got from Liverpool was a bit rough around the edges. He's struggling to finish. He maybe was a bit flash. But now if you look at him, he's added a lot to his game. You know, you see him tracking back. You see him going a little bit more direct. He did miss some chances when he first came. And then Pep, I think, made him relax a little bit more. And you can see it with him. You know, he's scoring goals and he's finishing and he's winning big games. He's winning trophies. So, yeah, he's a world-class player for me. I do like Son. I do like him. I think he's a great player. I'd take him at City. I think anyone would take him. He's an honest professional as well. He plays the game right. And he's a great player. But first of all, I'd take him because he sells 10 million shirts. Last time I went to Tottenham, I couldn't get anywhere near the away end for all the Koreans offering me £500.
Leave it out. We need the money more, man. Let's keep the pennies.
You're so right. It's crazy.
They need FFP though, don't they?
So. I've never seen anything like it in my life. If you sell him, you'll be bankrupt because he's keeping you afloat, I'm telling you now.
It's crazy. Every time, every home game, there's always a bag of Korean fans, always, without fail.
I love how he basically just said the K-pop fans are basically paying Bale's wages.
But, they were in front of me in the away end. They bought tickets off Man City fans for 150 quid. They were in front of me in the away end and they pulled a banner out saying, "We love you, Son." And half of Manchester was going to lynch him and the stewards had to throw him out.
Die-hard Spurs fans.
They were just die-hard
Spurs fans. You don't see that, City.
Telling you.
I want to talk about, before we get onto the Aguero v Kane debate, I want to talk about the right side as well, because I feel like for both our sides, we've not had the firmly established sort of right wing option. Like, I feel like Man City, you've got Riyad Mahrez, but by all accounts, he's playing like an absolute slack arse this season. And I think I'm even being kind calling him a slack arse. He's been awful. And then I think on our side, you've got Gareth Bale, who's literally played like 8 games this year and he's just trying to work his way back to fitness. So the right side for both of us is sort of up in the air right now. So I just want to see like you lot's opinion on, for starters, from a Man City perspective, who starts, Ferran Torres or Riyad Mahrez? And for Spurs, Gareth Bale, does he start this game or are you looking to play someone like Lamella or Lucas? Because I know some of you lot in here, I'm not going to name names, but I know some people prop up the Lamella propaganda for these type of matches. So I'm just putting the question out there. So who wants
I think we'll play. I think we will play Torres. I mean, he got hat-trick against Germany the other night. Yeah, it was great to see Leroy Sané's face as well after that game. You know, the new kid on the block replaced him. But yeah, I think we'll play Torres. Like you say, Mahrez not been playing well. He's knocking about with his new bird from the Housewives of Cheshire all the time and all that. So I think he's busy. But yeah, Torres, he's in form. You know, you've got to play him. And listen, if Sterling doesn't make it, you could have Foden on one side, Torres on the other. They're both scoring on international level. So we could be confident. But I'd go with Torres, me personally.
Lads.
Bale, I'm worried about Bale because you know what Bale's got in his locker. And you know, if he's getting a bit of love at Spurs and he's getting that feeling back and he's liking his football again, you know, that's dangerous for anyone. So, I mean, I wish him the best, to be honest. Just don't do it against us.
Rose?
Yeah, no, I agree. 100% I agree with Steve. I'm hoping that Pep goes with Torres. You can see he's in form in the Champions League. He scored in all of our Champions League matches. So I'm just hoping that, you know, he can bring those goals to the Premier League as well. And yeah, like, I'm just hoping he starts. In terms of Gareth Bale, I haven't really seen much of Gareth Bale this season. Obviously, he's just joined Spurs. But like Steve said, like, he has so much, like, in his locker. Like, we know Gareth Bale. Like, he can just literally change a match just like that. And like Steve said, I'm just hoping that, like, this weekend is not the weekend that he just, you know, shows us what he's capable of doing. So I'm just hoping he has a bit of an off game, because he in particular worries me, because he can do something out of the ordinary against us.
Before I get onto you, Tops, as well, I'm not sure if you've seen that photo, but someone put out a tweet saying, "Oh, Gareth Bale's tested positive for being the best right winger in the league." And then a cheeky Arsenal fan quote tweeted it saying, "Thankfully, he's not showing any symptoms." it killed me, but it really made me, it triggered me, because we still haven't seen the best out of Gareth Bale this season. So, Tops, I'm coming to you on this now.
Yeah, no, we haven't seen the best out of him. But again, like, this is someone who, you know, hasn't consistently played regular high-level football for quite a long time. He's obviously had his injury problems in the last year or so. But the one thing that we've always said as well is that it's good to see him, like, playing again. It's good to see him happy. It looks like, you know, with the people around him, Ben Davies, our new signing Rodon, that these are guys that are kind of making him sort of feel comfortable about being in a football club where he's kind of... he can get this feeling of being positive again.
Do you start him? Like, do you start him this weekend?
This weekend, I wouldn't start him. I watched him yesterday or the day before for Wales.
Ireland.
He played again. He played like 60 or 70 minutes. He played quite well. He got the assist for Harry Wilson, one of Harry Wilson's goals, and he had a number of chances. So he seems to be getting back to what he's capable of. But I feel like this weekend, you know, we can expect City to have a lot of the ball. We can expect a lot of the possession to be in our half. So I would assume, as the pragmatist Mourinho is, he'd probably go with a Lucas.
Head City.
Just to work and just to work and hassle and give support to that right side with Aurier and Sissoko. And, you know, again, as we saw against like Brighton, it is good to be able to have the kind of quality like Bale to come on, if possible, to, you know, be able to have an effect on the game, be it score a goal or an assist. And that's also something that we've kind of improved in as a club. We've got a bit more quality on the bench, players who can come on and actually change the games. So hopefully this weekend we could see him. I don't think he'll start personally, but at some point it would be good to have him on against
City. I saw you smiling earlier on about Bonehead Lucas Moura. So I know you want to say something. So what's your take on
who's trying to air me out and about Lamella? I'll double down on that shit, man. Like that guy against City always produces something.
So you're gonna start him, yeah?
It's one of those things. I've got a feeling we'll go with Lucas, but if I saw Lamella start, I wouldn't be surprised.
Is he even fit?
That's the only thing that makes me question it. Last time we saw him, he was in a boot on a bike.
Shock.
That makes sense. I don't know that those Argentinian rehab programs, like maybe he's back, maybe not. One of them is going to play though. Bale won't start this game. If he does, I think we've got a few issues because we need someone to track back and protect Aurier. And we also need a bit more energy in advanced position so we don't just end up on the edge of our 18-yard box flinging bodies for 90 minutes. So, yeah, either Lucas or Lamella, they're both pretty much the same player. One with a bit more bite to his game. The other one has a really, really long head.
I wanted to focus now on the striker situation, because obviously it seems as if Gabriel Jesus is probably going to start for Man City. He scored a really good goal against Liverpool, but what's you lot's take on how much problems he can cause our defence this Sunday? Because when I look at Jesus, I look at a really good striker who can finish, who's got a bit of tech, but I just feel like he doesn't have that air of authority at times on the pitch. And I feel like in terms of being sort of like a go-to game winner, I still don't see that fully in Jesus as much as I like him. What's you lot's take on Jesus?
Don't me go? I'll go. Jesus, he's improved a lot. I mean, if you look at him towards the end of last season against Real Madrid and things, he's harassing the defenders, going up against goalkeepers, winning things that shouldn't really be there. And I tell you, to be honest, this season we're a totally different side with him. When we haven't got him, we look lost up front. We just do. Even with Aguero, when he came back, I mean, we did look a bit better. But Sergio is getting to the end for him. You know, he's lost a little bit of pace and stuff. But Jesus, whether he's going to be on Sergio level, he's a different player for me. I don't think anyone can get near Sergio at his prime. But listen, he's a young talent and he's playing direct up there on his own. He's harassing, he's pressing high, and that's the way we're going to play with Pep. So Pep obviously sees him as our main man in the future, I think. He's playing well at the minute. I've got a feeling he'll score, and I think he'll score the winner, to be honest.
I mean, he did score the winner last season and it got cancelled out thanks to VAR, so that was brilliant. But
but VAR has come back and beat you a few times.
Yeah. Rose, I'm going to come to you next before I go to Owen. So, like, Gabriel Jesus, I remember a game at Wembley that you lot won. I think you won it 3-1. And he tore the living daylights out of Davinson Sanchez that night. He was rampant. I'm just thinking, we're playing Alderweireld and Dier on most likely on Saturday.
Do you feel like he's the best? He would be equipped to sort of give these two probably the toughest game that they've had as a duo this season.
I think he will. Like we've seen, like in the last two matches that he's come back since injury, he's literally scored twice, and I feel like he's just getting back in like his groove now, and I just expect him to, you know, cause your defence so much issues this weekend. But I just feel like in this match, he's going to need help. He's going to need the help of obviously Torres. He's going to need Torres to have a good game. He's going to need Sterling to also have a good game, because I don't know what's going on with Sterling this season. I don't think he's been, you know, as great. So Jesus, I believe Jesus will score, like Steve said, but I just feel like City as a team need to have an exceptional game against Spurs and that will help Jesus a lot. So yeah, like I expect Jesus to score, but as a team we need to play well in order for that to happen.
Yeah, there has been some criticism sort of lobbed at you lot this season, because it seems like if Kevin De Bruyne doesn't play well and Sterling doesn't turn up, that's pretty much it for you. Like,
yeah.
I think in previous seasons where you had multiple weapons of attack, you had Jesus to come off the bench, you had Leroy Sané, you had Bernardo Silva when he's playing well, Riyad Mahrez when he was playing well as well. But it's just this season, there seems to be a lack of threat, so to speak, in your attack this season, which is quite odd considering you've still got so many top players. So it's
I just feel like when you look back at the old City side, like we had like Dzeko, we had Negredo, we've had Jokotic, we've had Aguero, we've had all of these like amazing forwards. And I feel like now we're just down to Jesus and Aguero, who's basically coming to the end of his career. So that's what I mean. Like we're short. We're so short in, you know, the forward option. Yeah, we still have exceptional players like Sterling and, you know, Torres, but we used to have so much more. That's the thing. Like we used to have so much more, and
because you got spoilt, that's why you've had your cake and you ate it. That's why.
Now you're
eating any cake this season. That's why.
And you can just see, like now, even though we've somewhat sorted out our defence, going forward, we're still short, and it's just like it's a bittersweet moment. Like we've sorted out the back, but we've kind of, you know, we need to sort out the front a bit more, in my opinion. Yeah.
I've got a quick question though. Who is going to be next on the list from City to miss a pen?
Lloris, the champion boy.
Lloris is left. Who's going to beat it?
Because Kevin De Bruyne. Who's going to take your penalties? Cancelo. I reckon Cancelo takes a mean penalty.
No, I think De Bruyne is going to take the penalty again if we have one. If Aguero doesn't start, yeah.
Okay. You know the best penalty taker on our team, and Pep said it.
Edison.
So, yeah.
Give it Edison. He'll blast it.
Okay.
That might be our best opening for a goal on the counter, to be fair.
So lads, specifically Owen, I'm coming to you on this. We got to talk about the big man up top, the man of the moment this season, Harry Kane. He's banging in form, but the guy just never seems to get it going against Man City. Like, I don't think I know he's had these injuries over the past couple of years, but I think I have this right. Harry Kane's not scored against Man City since 2016. So, I think he hasn't scored against Man City since 2016. So that's 4 years now. There's a fair few number of appearances.
Right. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he doesn't turn up against Man City. So, like, what are you expecting from our main man this game? Because obviously Laporte and Diaz, they look like they're striking up a reasonable partnership now for Man City. So, what are you expecting?
I was thinking earlier, I think he might even be lucky just to come out the game unscathed, because those little areas he's going to look to drop in between midfield and defence are exactly where Man City like to kind of draw on those tactical fouls. So he's going to be dropping in those areas where Rodri, Diaz and and I can't remember, Laporte, Jesus, will probably look to commit to him. And if he doesn't get tactically fouled or whatever else, he'll be able to play someone in. If not, then yeah, he might get Fabian Delft again. Hopefully not. I don't even know why Jesus gets a lot of criticism, by the way. I thought he was Stockport's R9, to be fair.
You're right.
No, if you're comparing the two, like, no, it's, Jesus is good. I don't fit him. With Kane, I don't know. I think he's going to be asked to play a certain role just to try and actually link our attacks because of how workmanlike we're going to probably look to shape up in midfield. If anything, Son will probably be our main game goal threat and Kane will probably bag a pen.
Tops, I'm going to come to you next on this. I know we spoke about Man City and their over-reliance on Kevin De Bruyne and Raheem Sterling, but do you feel like we have, I know it's early on in the season, but do you feel like we have understatement in the word slight, do you feel like we have an over-reliance on Son and Kane? Because I'm looking at our scoring pattern outside of both those guys this season, and I'm looking at Lucas Moura on one goal, Gareth Bale on one goal, Steven Bergwijn, zero goals, Lo Celso, zero goals. So do you feel like, as much as Harry Kane needs to do it against Man City, surely the rest of our team also need to step up as well?
Do you know what? Yeah. I think we might even be more the Harry Kane team than when Mourinho, Guardiola said before.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tops.
No, like, I feel like this is something that we've kind of accepted in this sort of early part of the season, the way that we are playing, everything positive seems to go for those two guys. And obviously, you know, the season is long. Son's had a very good October, you know, broke player of the month. So to be able to look at these two guys and think, okay, anything that might be positive on Tottenham's side is probably going to come through them. Is expected. I think at this point, you know, they have such a good relationship on the pitch. The chemistry between them seems to just work. Other players, like in the past, have had like quite good relationships with Kane, Son, players like Ali, players like Eriksen. Obviously, these are the kind of guys that aren't there at the moment. And obviously, because of those two players that play in attack so regularly, you know, they're probably the best players to sort of build any type of relationship, especially in the attacking areas for Tottenham. I feel like there are some players that really do need to step up. I feel like players like Lucas, Lamella, definitely need to step up. I feel like Bergwijn has started and he has given us goals, like the goal he scored last season against City.
Yeah.
But I also feel like there's more onus on these attacking players to sort of put in performances because, you know, there will be games where Kane and Son may not even register and there will be chances that will probably fall to these kind of guys and you kind of need them to really put them away or at least contribute in some way.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Guys and lady, I think it's time to do pre-match predictions now because I know we've spoken about the midfield, defence, attack, the managers. So we got to do pre-match predictions now. Steve, I'm going to start with you. I know you're always, every time I speak to this guy, he's so confident about Man City beating us. So I'm going to start with you. What's your score prediction and why?
I think it'll be a tight game. I think it will be a tight game. I think, like I said before, I think Jesus will get the winner. I think we'll win 1-0. I just hope there's no VAR cheating going on for you guys again because that's, you know, still not got over that Champions League thing.
This guy's obsessed. Cheating. Okay, 1-0, yeah. You think you're going to keep us at bay at home? Would that be fair?
I do. I think what tends to happen with us, we control 90% of games we're in. We always give the opposition are like a window where we seem to be under the cosh, but this season I've felt a little bit more confident. Like you say, I know the Leeds game and that, but we didn't get beat. Wolves, we've done enough, but with Diaz and that at the back, I've just got a feeling that it's going to be a bit cagey, and I think Jesus on form, he'll take his chance, and I think we'll hold on. We might weather a bit of a storm, but we'll get the 3 points.
Rose, you didn't sound so confident. You didn't sound as confident as Steve did was there when we spoke about this at the start of the pod. What's your predictions and what's the rationale?
I'm not as confident as Steve. I'm going for a 2-2 draw. I think Spurs will score two. I don't know if you watched the Liverpool match, but like in the first 5 minutes, literally the game would have been over for us. You know, Firmino, Jota, just all, Salah, Mane, literally Edison saved us in like the first 5 minutes. And then you had Kyle Walker obviously making that mistake. So even though our defence has improved, I still feel like Kane and Son, and obviously you guys are saying maybe Bell or Moura, I feel like they're just going to be too, like they're going to be too strong for us to keep a clean sheet. So I expect us to score a few, but I also expect you guys to score a few against us as well.
Fair enough. Owen? Yeah.
I've got the same feeling as well. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I feel like we'll probably score first and hopefully go on to win something like, I don't know, 4-1 or something like that.
4-1.
Okay.
4-1.
4-1. It's very efficient with our attacks. I think we'll get 4 shots, 4 on target, 4 goals.
Jesus Christ.
What? You better drug test him.
That's
not. Where's my whiskey?
That's German.
Someone come save me.
4-1. Okay, fair enough. Tops.
I think we could see another repeat from against another Manchester team.
Okay.
That's it.
I think it will be tight. I do echo what Owen was saying earlier on. I feel like we know that City will have a lot of the ball, and I think the role that Kane will play will be maybe a little bit of a different one, and I believe that Son will be our main outlet in terms of breakaways, transitions, counters. I do believe that with Aurier in that defence, Dier in that defence, there is always an individual error lurking, but I do think we'll win. I think we'll win 2-1. I think Son will score 2.
He loves
it. I think we'll nick it. Yeah, 2-1.
Sai.
All this talk of Jesus and stuff, it's sounding like Steve is hoping for an early Christmas present, because I don't see him doing anything in this game, to be perfectly honest. I don't see him as that much of a threat. And it will probably bite me in the bum, but I think it will be quite an end-to-end game. 3-2 Spurs. Why not? Why not? Just an absolute like shit show of defence and just a masterclass in us eating our dinner. Christmas dinner at White Hart Lane.
Mate.
I'm all for it, mate. Just every single chance hits the back of the net, as Owen said.
It's such a crucial game. So, as in, I feel like City are the favourites for the league. If we win this, we can actually start accepting more smoke for our own title challenge. And this is the way. This is the way.
Whoa,
this is
our mentality now. Did you just say title challenge?
I knew it.
I also quoted The Mandalorian for this is the Listen, way. But
I'm phoning the police. Get the police round there. Sort him out.
Four, you don't want to come down to challenge. These ends. These country ends. Title challenge.
If we win this game, my title challenge talk from the tail end of last season is going full throttle, and I'm coming for Steve straight away.
I think City are a better team than us, but there's just been so much juju for us in the last few games. So I just feel it.
The thing is, for me, I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win 2-1. But my only worry, in addition to that defence, is just karma, because I feel like last season we got away with murder against Man City. Like,
oh, we got peppered.
We had no right to win that game that we won. We had no right to score 2 goals in that initial fixture at the Etihad, and yet we came out unbeaten. So I'm a firm believer in karma, and I always feel like whatever you take. I mean, whatever you put towards others, you're going to receive. And I really don't want it to be the case on Sunday. But that aside, I'm going for us to win 2-1. I feel like Harry Kane, enough is enough now. You need to burst that net behind Ederson. Mm. I need him to back.
We beat these lot in must-win games a lot, though.
What's that?
We beat them in must-win games a lot. Peter Crouch.
We do.
It's true.
The Southerner mentality.
Ericsson and VAR. Like, we always find a way. So, there we go.
Yeah, we always get the trophies in the end, though.
You're gonna say this?
Yeah, we do.
You can have them small victories when you're like the last game of the season, bored, and we're running around pitches celebrating trophies and stuff.
But where was this talk when you got dumped out in the Champions League, bro?
Which time? You said you cheated, didn't it? You cheated. We all know that. We all know you cheated.
Which time?
Tombstone out of the competition. Get out of here.
You cheated, didn't it? VAR.
You didn't cheat. You had your opportunity to beat us at Arbor.
But listen, it doesn't matter because we all know what happened. You didn't do anything. You never won anything. So it's all water under the bridge. You got the same as us. Nothing.
You've given your prediction. So you said 1-0. Rose, you said 2-2. Owen, 4-1. Tops, 2-1. Cy, 3-2. And me, 2-1. So it's going to be interesting to see how the game sort of pans out this weekend. One thing is for sure, though. If we win, I'm pamming you lot's phones. I swear to God. I'm pamming you on,
no
I'm
problem.
Pamming you on Twitter, Rose. And I'm Steve, I'm breaking your phone. I swear to God. I'm breaking your phone. And on the flip side, if we don't win, I'm putting my phone in airplane mode. So you can't contact me. So, but it's been really good having you both on.
No problem.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think we put a tweet up for listener questions. Has anyone got any?
There's one that I found from a fan. There's one from at Orange Sorrel. Will Ederson save a shot on target this game?
I hope so.
he's been a bit dodged this season, hasn't he?
No, Ederson's dodgy anyway. You know what he's like. He's crazy.
Yeah, he's a bit mad. He's definitely a bit mad. Yeah.
The little smiley face.
And listen, don't forget, when we played Man United under Mourinho, it was Ederson that threw a carton of milk at Mourinho and hit him right in the face in the dressing room.
Seriously?
So there might be a bit of afters as well.
When was this?
Well, United wouldn't let the Amazon Prime people in the dressing room, but obviously my mate's in there and it all kicked off. Google it. They kicked off in the dressing room and Mourinho come in, said, show some respect because the City players were ballooning. And Ederson threw a carton of milk, hit him in the face, and the only player that stuck up for him was Lukaku. And it was all a bit of a scrap went on there. But yeah, so Mourinho and Ederson, they've got history involving milk.
Oh, we're winning this game. We're winning.
What was that talk about karma earlier? That's all we needed.
Okay, well, I think if there's no more questions, I think we can end the podcast here. Rose, Steve, thank you for coming on. I would say I wish you good luck, but I wish you the worst of luck this weekend. It's been a pleasure having you both on. Cy, Tops, Owen, it's been brilliant as always. Let's hope we get the W, otherwise I'm not showing my face this weekend. So Spurs, don't ruin my weekend. And if you're still listening, make sure to follow us on at Touchline Fracker on Twitter, on Instagram. Look out for this pod and all the other pods as well, and we'll be back next week. Take care.
On debut, Tunde Ndombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London. That is absolutely incredible on debut. Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane. Good area for Spurs. And Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane!
Sports Social Podcast Network.